Welcome, everybody. It is time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. If you have been on this station for the last little while, you just heard what a great bunch of music and a little preaching there, too, from our dear brother who comes on before us. What a great time. That was cool. That was really cool. So we are Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and we're so glad you've joined us. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Here in the studio with me is Nathan Burton.
Yes.
Our keyboard player and wonderful singer at Beacon of Hope. And we have already been having church, even though our services are now at 6 on Sunday nights. Where did we just come from, Brother Nathan?
Just came from the Palm Gardens Nursing Home.
Yeah.
And boy, ministry there was so anointed and so glorious. Oh, my goodness.
Wasn't it?
And just carrying over to here.
It is. And I'll tell you, it was one of the best times. We've been going there every month for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's always first Sunday of the month. For anybody that wants to join us, you're always welcome at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon. And the people, a lot of them gather in this one activities room. It was pretty full today.
It was
hardly a room for another wheelchair.
They were active. They were definitely active.
And Sean takes our tambourines, and they love playing music to God, don't they? Mm-hmm. And I mean, today, Nathan, I don't know when they have been so... participatory as they were today.
And singing and shouting. Hallelujah.
We sang some Christmas carols.
It was awesome.
Wasn't it awesome?
It was awesome.
It was. So it's one of my favorite parts of Beacon of Hope is the nursing home ministry at Palm Garden in Clearwater. What a joy. Mm. And it's just so good to be able. And as I was leaving there, Nathan, I heard a scripture come to me. When you give to the least of these.
Yes.
It's as if you're doing it for me. When you do for the least of these. And I was thinking, some of them, you know, don't know their names. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them have other issues, health issues, and they can't get out of that wheelchair. But, you know, it's like God was just putting a stamp of approval on that today.
Yes.
As I left there and got in the car, I was praising God for that anointing that we just experienced. It was wonderful.
Now it's praising God all the way from there from here to here.
Oh, I know it. And it's always a joy to have you on live here. And Carol from Georgia, our dear other radio team member, will join us in a little while. And Nan is busy over here to my right.
Rolling
coins for a project we had at church. And so if anybody sees her on the video, she's not like a money changer in the temple. She's just busy fulfilling a duty that needed to get done. So anyway, but it's a joy, isn't it, to be able to praise God, whether we're singing This Little Light of Mine at the nursing home.
I'm telling you.
And weren't they good on that?
They were singing it.
They were singing it.
I mean, they weren't just singing it. They were singing it.
Singing it. And, you know, our whole theme for the month of December is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Hallelujah.
And one of the ladies singing the loudest today at the nursing home happened to have a name of Joy.
Yes.
And I checked, and that is exactly her name. And she was just singing to beat the band. Good voice, too.
Yeah, very good voice. Very, very good voice.
So anyway, it's cool to know because you and I, we're pushing the numbers up here in age a little bit, at least 40 now. And, you know, it's good to know that we'll still be singing at
that
age, you know, isn't it?
Yes.
So, Nathan, we're going to start the show in a couple minutes with a song you wrote. And you started writing songs at Beacon of Hope probably in about 04. And you've written a ton. And a lot of them came as a result of being right in the service. And the song just comes, like we did one Wednesday night that you had written. The one we're going to do today from your album, it's the last song on your album. In fact, people can go to our website, beaconoffolkministries.com, and order your CD. And all of these are songs that you wrote. Again, most of them in a service under the anointing of God. The last song on your CD is I Will Bless the Lord at All Times, which comes from Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and rejoice. I love that section of scripture from Psalm 34. Do you remember when you wrote this or anything about it?
It was following one of those highly anointed, powerful services that we had.
Yes.
And Sean and I were straightening out the sanctuary.
Right.
And I was running the vacuum. I was running the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, praise God.
And it bubbled out of my spirit.
Woo!
It just bubbled up, and I just started singing and singing and singing. And all the words were there. All the words were there, and all the music was there. And it was like,
wow.
Praise God. Sister walked through, and I said, look at this. And
yeah.
She said, yeah. It sounds good. And I said, yeah, it sounds good. It's from the Lord.
Right.
God just overwhelmed me.
Amen.
And I just couldn't help but just praise him.
Oh.
I just couldn't help it.
And that's what we're created to be. God says we are created to be to the praise of his glory. Oh. That's why we're here.
We're here
to learn how to praise God and to bless him at all times.
And his word.
Yes.
Praises him perfectly.
Shall forever be in my mouth. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's exciting. And so we're going to hear this in a minute. I don't remember if you had anybody else singing with you on this when you did the recording in the recording studio. I think it was all you.
I think it's all you, and you
played all the instruments too.
Well,
went back and laid the tracks.
And the engineer.
And you were the engineer.
And the engineer, yeah.
It's like Nathan won't let anybody else play
with
him.
Yes, I will.
I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. It's so cool. Here we go. I Will Bless the Lord at All Times by Nathan Burton, written by him and sung by him, and here he is.
God is so good. When I think about the goodness of the Lord, my soul wants to take flight. And I lift my voice in song to him, to praise with all my might. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Lord, I lift you up, and I praise your holy name, for you are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. Jesus, I lift you up, and I bless your holy name. Your praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Lord, I lift you up, and I praise your holy name, for you are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. Jesus, I lift you up, and I bless your holy name. Your praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times.
Whoa. All right. That gets one of our bell ringers. All right. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bow your heads with us right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity on this radio station today to declare your praise, to declare your glory, to talk about you and how great you are. Mighty God, we love you so much. What a joy to be right here at this moment in time. praising you and blessing you with all our hearts. And so, Lord, we ask that you touch the lives that are listening right now or who later listen to this show on our website. Mm-hmm. We ask that they be filled anew with your presence and your glory, that they desire you more than they ever have before, and that you just touch them in a fantastic way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! First Sunday of December. We're glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Have the internet up. Nan's right in front of it. If you want to send us a note during the show, just do that. Send it to me, and it'll come right here, and I can see it. Pastor@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. We love it when people send their comments their questions all that. Nathan, it's a joy to have you right here live. We are talking about Luke chapter 1, and then we're going to go in a moment. I want to set the stage for why we're going to go to Psalm 100 here in a moment. But Luke chapter 1 is the story of the time of Zechariah, the high priest. He was in the temple, and he was offering up incense and prayers before God. And in Luke chapter 1, Luke starts to tell the story of what happened to Zechariah. And if you have your Bibles and want to follow along, it's about verse 5 of Luke 1. During the rule of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest assigned service in the regiment of Abijah. His name was Zechariah. His wife was descendant from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Together they lived honorably before God, careful in keeping to the ways of the commandments and enjoying a clear conscience before God. But they were childless because Elizabeth could never conceive. And now they were quite old. Sounds like a hopeless situation.
Sounds like time for a miracle.
It does sound like time for a miracle.
Miracle time.
You know, Nathan, so many times in our life we get to a place where it seems like nothing has worked in our life, or the answers that we have been praying for have not happened. Mm-hmm. And I really want to stress this whole concept today on this show, because so often we have prayed for something for years, years maybe, not just a day or two or a minute or two or a month or two or a year or two, but many, many years. And so we see as we open the book of Luke that this was the situation with Zechariah the priest and his wife Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And so let's look at verse 8. It so happened that as Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working the shift assigned to his regiment, it came his one turn in life. Now, this is such an important moment in the life of Zechariah. He has one turn to enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense. It's his turn to do that. So the congregation was gathered, and they were praying outside the temple at the hour of the incense offering. And then something totally unexpected happened to Zechariah. Now, at this point, I can so see him in there doing his priestly duty, you know, waving the incense and all that, and being thrilled that he has this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but not realizing that his miracle was right there. Mm-hmm. You know, Nathan, it's been very much on my heart in the last few days that we can short-circuit miracles by staying in our old stinking thinking, by expecting God to move. Talk to me about
that. By not getting out of the box.
Yes.
By not getting out of the box, you know, say, because we sometimes tell God, this is how we want it.
Exactly.
You know, this is how we want you to do it. This is how we want you to give it to us. And God just says, well, you know, if you got it all figured out, well, he'll just sit back and just wait till you let him figure it out.
Exactly.
Because it's God's business. Miracles are God's business.
And you can't really have a miracle without an impossibility.
No, you can't.
And so this is so like God, and I know you've experienced this, and I have in my life, when it would have been the logical time for God to move, he didn't.
Mm-mm.
When it would have been the time where we could all say, oh, well, that happened, and that makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that God loves to not make sense. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I mean, because Nathan, really, there are so many times that you and I both get frustrated and have through the years that things are not happening in our timing.
In the sequence that we think they should happen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we can tell, we can present quite an argument.
Oh, yes.
You know.
We're good debaters.
Exactly. I mean, we're good debaters, yes. Being a realtor, I can talk up a house and talk down the house. You know, I can do both sides of that argument. And, you know, we sometimes present our cause before God, and sometimes we do it with an attitude of, what is wrong with you, God? And where are you? Oh. And that's what this show's about today. Mm. Because it's really about facing our human frustrations.
Frustrations, yes.
Okay? With that said, you and I both love the teachings of Graham Cook.
Yes,
and
we
listen
do.
To a lot of his. One yes, of the things he says is this, and I read it this week, and I had written it down in my little prayer book a long time ago. Our frustrations must be changed into celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's kind of powerful.
Ooh.
I'm going to say that again because there's some people out there driving down the road going to grab a little memo pad and write that thing down. You need to write this down. Our frustrations must be turned into
celebrations.
Mm. Now, the problem with that, let's look at Zechariah right now. He wasn't expecting his miracle right then. He was so excited that this was his one time in life moment to go in to the temple and do this priestly duty. That his turn came up, and there he was. Mm-hmm. It's almost like winning the lottery. Whoops, there's his ticket, you know? And he's got this opportunity. I don't think for a moment Zechariah was standing in there saying, why haven't I had a baby? I think that discussion
was over.
It was because over. It says that they were so old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's look at verse, I guess it's 15. It says, no, it's not that. Anyway, someplace in there, it says that they were not able to have a child. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth was barren.
In the natural,
they were not able to have a child. And there may be even some people listening to us today, Nathan, who really want a child and they couldn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually happened to me in the ministry at Cornerstone in Indiana. You've heard me say this years ago when people...
The baby ministry.
Yeah, the baby ministry. It was really weird. It's true. And bizarre. Some of you from Indiana probably remember this, but I'll never forget the Sunday when this couple, he looked like Abraham Lincoln. His name was Larry. She looked like... I don't know,
Sarah.
Just very, very short, very short. Sweet, sweet couple, very sweet couple. They, Marilyn and Larry, came up at the end of the service, Nan, for prayer, and I'd been preaching on faith, and they had always wanted a child. They'd been married almost 20 years, not been able to have a child. They came up that Sunday, and I didn't know why they were coming up for prayer, thought maybe one of them was sick or whatever. Instead, they said, Pastor, we want you to agree with us right now that we're going to have a baby. Well, in my naturalness, I thought, really? Seriously? You guys are kind of up there in age, you know, or whatever. Long story short, and this is true, shortly after that, within just a very short time, they were pregnant and eventually had a beautiful daughter. And then that became a thing at Cornerstone where more and more people came that couldn't have children and would come up for prayer. And sure enough, then they get pregnant. So, I mean, how bizarre is all that? But anyway, it's a matter of believing for things that we can't see and that seem unlikely. And so often it seems like God has passed us by, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
That he hasn't heard our cry. I mean, I think Zechariah and Elizabeth quit asking.
Yeah.
I mean, they were old.
Yep.
We don't know how old they were. Probably older than you and I are right
probably.
Now. But they really were up there in years, and they had given up that. I think it was just one of those things.
It was just a fantasy.
But that is when God loves
That's
to show
when he
up.
He loves to show up, yes, and show out.
You know, it's these times in our lives when we haven't seen the answer that we've been believing for. That so often people just take a real nosedive in the area of faith, don't you think?
Yes. Yes. Because they go in faith believing when they pray.
Uh-huh.
And then they believe that they receive when they prayed.
Right.
But the answer doesn't come out
doesn't
of the spiritual. It doesn't make it from the spiritual realm into the natural realm.
Right.
And when we don't see it with our physical eyes, when we can't touch it with our physical hands, then something happens there. I mean, the tangibility becomes questionable.
Exactly.
Because if we think, well, did we pray amiss? Did we not hear God?
Right. We start doubting our own prayer life.
Yes.
We start doubting our relationship with God.
Yes.
And, of course, the devil comes and throws condemnation.
And accusing.
Talk to me about that.
Yes. Oh, Satan. You are bound in Jesus' name. You have no authority here.
Right.
He is the accuser of the brethren.
He is.
And one of his big accusations is, how do you expect God to give you anything? Look how you live.
Right. Right.
Look at the things you have done.
Right.
And you expect God to answer your prayer.
Right.
Who do you
all
think
the time
you
putting
are?
Us down? Yes.
Yes. Oh, and he's the
That's
one.
That's his job.
He's the one that trips us up in the first place.
Right.
And then once he trips us up, he pounces on us.
Exactly.
And just, oh, yes.
And so often we get caught in that when our prayer isn't answered in the time that we think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
We get so discouraged, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have been there in years in ministry. We've been in ministry since we were little tiny kids. You know, we both, our parents were in the pastoral ministry, and we have grown up in it all our lives. Believing God for certain things to happen and going through life thinking, okay, God, where is that you showed me was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Where is this? Or I guess I missed
God. I missed God.
Right. We start to condemn ourselves, Or we start thinking we're too old, seriously.
That's true.
We know Nan's too old, but us. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Can't talk.
Just slip that in.
Can't talk to her right now when she's counting money.
Yeah.
But so often, Nathan, we fall prey to probably what Zechariah did here. Zechariah had to be in a position of doubt and unbelief because of his reaction to the angel.
Yes.
So he was like already set up for failure, but yet God knew his heart.
God nipped it in the bud.
But don't you find it interesting that God accepted him? I mean, yes, there were consequences to his unbelief,
doubt and unbelief
and his doubt. But through that, God turned it around like he does all the time. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things
to work together
for
our good.
To those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
I feel like the show is going a different direction than what I originally planned a couple days ago, because I am feeling there are some people out there right now, Nathan, that are burdened with condemnation. Mm. They're burdened with unbelief. They're burdened with feeling like they are not the prayer warrior they thought they were because where's my answer? Where's the beef, Oh, no, that was Wendy's. I'm sorry. Where's my answer, God?
Yes.
It's a frustrating place to be. We said a moment ago, frustrations must be turned into
celebration.
Celebrations.
Hallelujah. Ugh. And thinking about that.
Talk to me.
Thinking about that. Opposite. I mean, God works in opposites.
So frustration. The opposite of that is jubilation and celebration.
That's right. It's celebration. It's it's going from complaining to praising.
I felt that today at the nursing home.
Oh,
okay,
yes.
All of these people gathered in that room. You couldn't hardly get another wheelchair in, and all of those dear people, and probably aches and pains.
Mm-hmm.
Probably maybe loneliness, feeling frustrated because they couldn't walk anymore.
Someone feeling abandoned.
I think there was only one or two in that room today that can walk. Mm-hmm. I think everybody else is in their wheelchair. And abandoned, feeling all of those things. And yet, there they were, Cedric. I wish you could have seen it. You got to have to go with us sometime.
Yes,
it's just too much fun.
It is.
And seeing them playing the tambourine, Sean took all the tambourines and all the percussion instruments. And some of them don't even have use of two hands. Mm-hmm. But they were banging that tambourine on their wheelchair.
Yeah, they were
celebrating in the way that they could do it and singing what they could.
Mm-hmm.
And it just something snapped in me, Nathan, about how wonderful it is, privilege to be able to praise God.
Amen.
And instead of we so often major on our disappointments, our losses, our doubts, our worry, our fear, the things that haven't gone the way we think they should go,
and
instead
also,
of celebrating.
And also the what ifs, because sometimes,
tell me about the what ifs.
We get caught into thinking, well, what if this happens, or what if that happens, or what, I mean, things that haven't even happened yet.
Exactly.
You know, we start fretting about what if.
Exactly, we
and
do.
We just need to get out of that.
We
just
do.
Get away from it.
We tend to do that, and we get caught up in all that, and it drags
us down. And
Graham
says, if you have a thought that's a negative thought and you don't like that thought, have another thought.
Have another thought.
Have another thought.
I love that.
Just, I did too.
Just get out of that
just
place of negativity.
Get out of the stinking thinking.
You know, it's God's perfect timing in our lives. So often we don't recognize that the reason our answer has not come is because it's not time for the answer.
Not time.
It's talk not, to me about time. That.
God's timing is always perfect.
Right.
It's always perfect. And I mean, sometimes, you know, I remember some of the old gospel songs we used to sing in church, you know, he may not answer when you want him to, but it's always on time.
There you go.
You know, and it is. I mean, it is. It just is. Sometimes we give up.
Right.
And at the moment that we give up is the moment that the opportunity is there.
It's that absolutely. It's right there,
right,
but
right
so
there.
Often we can, I think by our attitudes and whatever, we can miss God's best for us.
We can block it.
Carol just joined us. Carol talked to us about this. We kind of are going in a different direction, but I feel very strongly this is where God's leading us and that there's people out there, Carol, who are really missing their best blessings from God because their negativity is blocking that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. Good afternoon to all of you.
Good afternoon to you, darling.
It's so good to hear your voice.
My good friend.
Well, thank you. One day we will get back down that way for a visit. But
you better.
That would be awesome.
It won't be today.
Okay. Well, we will enjoy your presence on the radio.
Will.
One thing that I just feel so strongly about people not trusting God, and that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
We can't trust our friends. We can't trust our family. We can't trust our business. We can't trust our neighbors. We all say those things. I mean, when I talk about we, I'm talking about the general public that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't, you know, we can't trust God because we personalize it, our relationship with him, as one of those of betrayal.
Right.
He's not going to hear me. After all, I'm a shoemaker.
Mm. Right.
He's not going to hear me.
A shoemaker. Carol, I don't even
have head lice every other week, and I'm frustrated.
Carol, I don't even know a shoemaker. Do you know a shoemaker?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. And I don't really even know anybody with head lice either, praise God.
My stars and garters. I taught for 30 years, and let me tell you, I could write a book on those little critters.
Okay.
You know, the only major thing you had to do in elementary school
was check in.
Make sure that the children had their lunch money, and or if they did not, then you put them on the free lunch or reduced lunch schedule before 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mm. And get it down to the office, and then you had to always, always do your lice head count. I learned very early on, it isn't about teaching, it's about counting.
All right.
It's about lice, yes.
All about lice, and it's all about all the other childhood diseases that come in, you know.
Carol,
and
you are hilarious.
There were some teachers that paid for their classes to have those things.
Carol, you're just absolutely crazy. But anyway, we love you.
Sometimes it helps get through this world if we can just laugh at everything that would bring us consternation. that would bring us anguish, that would bring us pain, that would bring us defeat. Nathan said it a few minutes ago. We have got to laugh in the face
Amen.
Of Satan.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's one reason I wanted to start the show. Did you hear the beginning of the show when I used his song that he wrote there at Beacon?
Oh, yeah, got that album. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Carol, I remember when he did that at church so many times, "Oh, bless the Lord at all times." That song, just the way he recorded it, makes me so happy. It's bouncy, and it reminds me, I will bless the Lord. It reminds me, whoa, this is a decision I'm going to make, and I'm going to celebrate God in spite of my attitude, whatever it might be. You know what I'm saying, Carol?
I do. It's so difficult sometimes when life just slams you right in the face, and you
right.
and you want to let your face just fall to the ground, drag through the red clay and the mud and the sand in Florida, and just get your flesh all icky, icky, icky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you, even in those circumstances, find the humor in it, because there is humor in everything.
Yes.
And
Graham
then
says,
begin
have fun.
To realize and just start saying to yourself or singing Nathan's song, I will praise the Lord in all my circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I will praise the Lord in all my circumstances.
Right.
I will praise the Lord because I just fell flat on my big face and
right.
I'm eating red mud.
Right.
So somebody's getting a laugh off of it.
Right. But, you know, exactly.
We have to do those things. We take ourselves far, far too seriously.
We do, don't we? Mm. Oh,
we
yes.
We do. You know, I think we need to hate what is evil and cling to what is good.
Amen.
And when we see good, we need to pass it on.
Yes.
When we see hatred manifesting itself, and whether it be a self-hatred or a self-loathing, I know that when people come for appointments to speak to a pastor or an associate or whoever it might be, or those lowly little deacons, I think at those points in time, we have to put aside what we hear them saying as hatred and angst and show them in Scripture and in other resources that are spiritual, show them the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let them know you don't have to wallow around in mud.
Mm-mm.
I mean, even pigs, contrary to popular belief, pigs don't like mud.
Really?
They don't have any blood vessels so that they can sweat like a horse or a human being or anything like that. They have to cool their bodies down.
Okay.
So they make this mud wallow, and somebody is generous enough to add water to it, or the rain comes, and they wallow in it, and they lie there till they get cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is my agriculture lesson for the day.
All right, Carol. So, you old pig farmer. So then, you're saying that we have got to learn to celebrate God and look for what he's doing in our circumstances. I think it might have been kind of hard for Zachariah and Elizabeth all those years to want a child that bad and not be able to have one, and then realize that their years of being able to had gone. They're over.
But you know, we have to fall back on that old saying, nothing is impossible with God.
There Amen. You go. Amen. I was just going to bring
nothing
that up.
Nothing is impossible. I mean, I have seen some circumstances, and people have come to me, and I've spoken in groups of people who eventually somebody will either speak up or meet me afterward and say, you don't understand. My situation is horrible. It's certainly no one else could experience what I'm going through. And I'll say, really? Would you like to talk to me about your experience versus hanging on the cross for 3 days?
Yeah, there you go.
And then when we can take ourselves off
the,
cross, as Dolly Parton says, get off the cross. Somebody else needs the wood.
Yeah.
You know? If we can take ourselves off the cross of crucifixion of thought and life and body and circumstance, and put ourselves on the cross of joy and love and service to God and service to God's people and praising.
Well,
that's what it's all about.
Well, let's talk about that joy, because this whole month of December at Beacon of Hope, the theme and the series is going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's an old hymn. That's a chorus from an old hymn that we used to do in church a long time ago. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But it's just been on my heart for days now. We have got to transfer these frustrations that we all have where we feel like God has not answered our prayers, where we're not sure what he's doing anyway. What in the heck are you doing, God? You know, that kind of an attitude, to a joy about who he is, mm-hmm. how much he loves us, that he cares about the details in our lives. We've got to transfer the frustrations and the pain and the hurt into a life of joy.
And trust.
And trust. Go ahead, Nathan, on that, and then we'll come back to you, Carol. Go ahead.
Because sometimes when we're wondering what God is doing,
right.
we're not trusting him.
Right.
We're not.
No.
It's like, God, I don't trust you because, well, we've learned mistrust from relationships, earthly
right.
relationships.
Sure.
And a lot of earthly relationships we transfer to godly relationships.
Absolutely, we do.
You know, and right or wrong.
Right. Parents that have been less than sweet, kind,
yeah,
and lovely.
Yeah. And so.
Et cetera.
So we have to let it down. Let go of that. Let go of the frustration.
Right.
Let go of the mistrust and determine within ourselves that we do trust God.
Right.
And in that trust, you know, we find joy, too.
How do we find joy in that? And then I'll get back to Carol and ask her that question.
Because we know that he has our best interest at heart.
How do we know that?
Because he loves us.
Oh, it all comes back to.
To God loves me.
For God so loved the world that he gave his
hallelujah,
only begotten
hallelujah.
Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And it comes right down the lowest common denominator of all of that, according to the word of God, is that God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
And God is love.
And he is love. And
hallelujah.
You know, that's the whole bottom line. God is good. God is good. And
God
when we start really meditating on that.
And realizing that. And
joy to the world, the Lord has come. Carol, comment on this.
Well, I think we have unbounded joy. Part of the reason we don't recognize it is we refuse to experience the joy of Jesus because it would take some of us out of our doldrums and our pitiful situations that somehow we as human beings have managed to create.
Yeah.
It's our sympathy getter. It's our, bless your heart.
Oh, yeah.
There's a wonderful thing up here in Georgia that I just love. Now, there was some of it in Florida, but Florida truly is not a real southern state, if you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
A lot of folks that aren't southern.
Right. A lot of us are transplanted from up north, actually.
Yeah.
We're Yankees.
This is so funny to me because people up here will say, well, how is your Aunt Maud? Well, you know, she's still bedridden. Well, bless her heart. Everything is bless her heart.
Mm-hmm. Well,
or bless his heart.
Right.
You know, and they mean it sincerely, but it's almost like a whitewash.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
You know, they really mean it when they say it in there, but it just covers a multitude of sins. Meaning, number one, I haven't been there to see them. Number two, I haven't done anything to help you with them. Number three, I haven't done anything to help you do whatever it is you personally need.
Yeah, okay, that's all good.
We take that responsibility off
right.
of ourselves by bless their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, well, I'm not going to do anything, but God sure will if you just ask him.
If you ask him, he'll bless their heart.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and I just really do feel that people want a shortcut prayer system.
Mm. Yeah.
They want to dial a prayer. Mm. You punch, you know, you look on your dial and it says hope, and you, hope. Hey, I got hope. Let me push that one. I need a little bit of hope here.
Right. Mm.
So they push that little bit of hope, and then they supposedly get what they need. Or if they have lacking finances. First of all, I have very little, unfortunately, very little empathy for people who don't have an awful lot of money.
Mm.
And the reason I don't is because they have the key to the bank in their soul.
Mm.
If they simply quit trying to manufacture their dollar on themselves and say, I know the man, and I know that there are some of you sitting in that room that know exactly what I'm going to say, because you've heard it from my mouth many times. I know the man that has all the sheep on the hill.
Amen. 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 And it does come.
Never, if you are his kid, he and kids can be 100 up, you know.
Right.
Because look at who we're talking about here. You know, we're talking about Elizabeth and her husband.
Right.
So they were older. You know, they were bumping up there.
Yeah, we don't know how old, but yeah, they were.
But when you tell him what your need is.
Right.
And quit, like Nathan said earlier, quit trying to tell him how to tell you what you want to know.
Right. Exactly.
When you trust in God, you know, if I'm hungry, if I'm without, I know the man that has all the sheep up on that hill.
Well, and it,
or if you're in Florida, of course, it would probably either be goats or cows.
Or fish.
Putting your love and your trust and your faith in him, he's not going to let you go without feeding you. He's not going to go without sheltering you. These are basic human needs, and they've been basic human needs since the very dawn of time. Mm-hmm.
Well, and with Zachariah and Elizabeth, they had a need to have a child, and I think a lot of people have that need. But I think that where they probably were in life was it didn't happen, and so we'll make the best of it. And maybe there was even some doubt where Zachariah was concerned that it would ever happen now because they were the age they were. And we're going to talk more about that on the other side of this song. This is a Mercy Me song, and the title of it is Here With Me. Let's hear it.
I long for your embrace every single day to meet you in this place and see you face to face. Will you show me? Because of your mercy, I fall down on my knees, and I can feel your presence here with me.
Right. Woo! Your presence here with me. That's a good song. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in Luke chapter 1. Let's go back to verse 8 before I get Carol and Nathan back in here. It so happened that as Zachariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working the shift assigned to his regiment, it came his one turn in life. Wow. That's his defining moment right there, right? His one turn in life to enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense. The congregation was gathered and praying outside the temple at the hour of the incense offering. Now, here comes the surprise. Mm-hmm. And God is such a God of surprises, mm-hmm. Nathan. Unannounced. Okay. God did not warn Zechariah in advance that something amazing was going to happen that day when he went into the temple. He did not tell him what was going to happen. It was unannounced. An angel of God appeared just to the right of the altar of incense. Mm-hmm. Zechariah was paralyzed in fear. Mm. Now, I don't know about you, and I'll go to you first, Nathan, then go to Carol. But I will tell you that there have been so many times in my life where I have allowed my circumstances to almost paralyze me in fear, almost keep me from that celebration of God's amazing miracle, because I was, you mentioned it earlier a little while ago, that we can get consumed with the what ifs. Mm-hmm. What is this about? What's happening here? Unannounced, this, I mean, it's like the angel, God sent the angel Gabriel for a reason, mm-hmm. unannounced. He wanted to see, I believe, Zechariah's immediate
response. Yes.
Talk to me about immediate response.
Well, Zechariah probably began to, when he first saw the angel, he began to track down all of his sins. He began to say, well, I was guilty of this. I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of this. And he began to, the
could
enemy.
Be.
The
could
enemy
very well be. Case, that's what
you know,
happened.
Began to illuminate to him his doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe his sense of pride because of being able to be there that moment.
Yeah, could be.
You know,
we don't know.
Lack of humility or whatever.
But these would be natural human reactions.
Natural human responses because, I mean, all of a sudden to be in this presence of an angel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Gabriel of all angels.
Right.
You know, it would just put you in a position of attention.
Attention. And it says here he was absolutely paralyzed mm-hmm. with fear.
Mm-hmm.
Paralysis, nothing good happens from paralysis, you know.
No.
Carol, comment on this, because of this paralysis that happened to Zechariah at this most critical moment of his entire life.
Mm. Perhaps I'm looking at Zechariah in a little different way before the angel came, in the fact that God knew Zechariah from nose to nose, toes to toes, and everything
sure.
in between.
Sure. Like he knows you and me and Nathan. And
that's right. And right. man, too.
And man, that's too.
It's all, unfortunately, because
right.
sometimes we like to keep a few things hidden.
Mm. Right.
You know, kind of like I bite my toenails or something. And I don't want that broadcast across the world.
I wish you wouldn't tell people that.
I know. I've got to start doing it if I'm going to talk it.
Okay. There you go.
You know, I've got to stick my toe in my mouth. I stick my foot in there
oh,
quite often,
oh,
but my toe
yeah.
dangles.
There you go.
It doesn't want any part of what I'm getting ready to say that might not be truthful.
Okay, there you
so
go.
The toe kind of hangs out.
Okay.
And I think if you look at Zacharias, he had given up. He had just basically said, ain't going to happen. No little crybabies around my house. No
right.
little cute little girls to run around. No handsome little boys to pick up the staff and follow
sure.
after me.
Sure.
So basically, I think he had just thrown his hands up and said to Elizabeth, well, honey, which is not going to happen. Sorry, but I'm too old and you're too old and we couldn't deal with a kid.
Mm. Right.
But I really do believe the reason that the angel did not come earlier, when Zechariah was maybe on his walk to the temple, maybe just turning the key to go into the temple, was simply because he knew that Zechariah would try to plead his case.
Mm.
He would try to say, I know that you're the angel sent from the Lord. I pray that what you're going to tell me is good news. Mm. But let me tell you what I've done first. I'm going to plead my cause. I'm going to unleash all my fears on you, Gabriel, as to why this has not taken place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that what we do?
Yes.
When we ask God for something, or when we kind of think maybe we're getting a little tiny miracle,
yes.
that before we can truly accept it, we have to say to ourselves, and maybe even out loud and on even bended knee with tears flowing down our faces, Lord, let me tell you why this has not been successful on my part. I have not been able to do this. I have not and we go on and on. We beat ourselves up.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And we plead a cause that we have pled from the day, whatever the incident was.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the angel sitting in front of us. You know, we have our Gabriels as well.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe we have Gabriels that come and present to us opportunities beyond every sense of reason, beyond every sense of hope. And in reading, like I always do, the Max Lucado things, it says hope is not what you expect. It is what you would never dream. It is wild, improbable.
Isn't it?
And a pinch me, I'm dreaming ending. It's Abraham adjusting his bifocals so he can see his grandson.
Right.
It is Zacharias left speechless at the sight of his wife Elizabeth, gray-haired and pregnant.
Mm.
Now, had Gabriel or had the Holy Spirit or God come down, Jesus, and said to Zacharias, listen, yeah, this is going to take place, but don't go telling anybody. First thing he'd have done was run tell Elizabeth.
Right, exactly.
Then he'd run tell his brothers and brag.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, there was definitely purpose in the what happened. Absolutely. I want to take us to Psalm 86 and bring all this together here, because David experienced the same type of thing, praying and praying and praying for something and not getting the results quickly, like Zechariah must have felt, like Elizabeth must have felt. Psalm 86, and let's go there for a minute, is a psalm written by David, and it says this, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I'm devoted to you. You're my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." Bring joy. Bring joy. "You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, and you will answer me." That's David's own words of his frustration, of him saying, "Hear me, God, listen to me. Come on, God. When I need you to respond." And so often God does not respond in our timing or the way we think he should. Nathan, comment on that before I get back to Carol.
Well, just as you said, sometimes God doesn't respond right when we think he should.
Right. The timing of God is so different than ours, I think.
Well, he deals with eternity. He sees the beginning from the end.
Yes.
He sees the big picture, you know, and sometimes we ask for things that can get us into trouble.
Right.
If we got them right when we thought we should get them.
Right.
You know, but God knows when we can handle
right
what we're asking for.
Right.
He knows when we can handle it and when he'll get glory from it. And God moves for his own glory.
And sometimes I think we get so hung up in the answer coming out the way we want it to do, and we say things like, "That'll really make me happy."
All right.
But it's not happiness.
It's not happiness.
It's that what we need to be, our focus needs to be on joy, because Jesus came to this earth to give us joy, not to just make us happy. Happiness is more of a temporary thing. Carol, talk to me about those two things, will you? Happiness and joy, because even David says here in Psalm 86, bring joy to your servant. It doesn't say bring happiness. David understood it wasn't about a temporary feeling. It was about deep joy within. Talk to me about that.
Joy is way, way, way down in your soul.
Mm-hmm. It is, yes.
Way down. And it can be, I suppose, I've never had children, but I've birthed 100 puppies or more.
Right.
Literally helping their mamas have them.
Right.
But I personally have never had a child. But I could imagine that if I had a child, to be able to look at that child and say, this is a joyous moment.
Right.
This is the most joyous moment I have experienced this week or whatever. And people who have children and their blessings to them are certainly joyous when that child is born.
Right.
I think another most joyous moment is when a person realizes deep in their heart and their soul and their spirit that they, for whatever the reason, God loves them and brings them into his fold.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
when
yes.
When they experience the joy of realizing there
God's
is
love.
A being far brighter, far more powerful, far more forgiving. Mm-hmm. If he weren't, as Nathan had said earlier, if God were not forgiving, none of us would be walking around
right,
here.
Absolutely. No.
We've all done things, whether it was in ignorance or whether it was in defiance or whether it was in love or retribution, whatever. We have all hurt each other all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that isn't what God wants us to do. He wants us to be joyous. And a church, a bonding of people to form a church should be joyous at all times. Leave the trash of the world at the door.
Oh, yeah. Leave it outside.
Come into his house with thanksgiving
right.
and joy.
And into his courts
sing
with
his
praise.
Praises.
Yes.
Allow him to move through you as a member of a congregation. Instead, we go to church and we beat the guts out of each other.
Right. Oh,
you know, and, all in the name of love.
Right.
That isn't it.
That's
it's
not it.
What it's about.
No.
It's about finding someone whose life is in such disarray and bringing them into a spirit of life eternal with God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the joy that we get from that.
Yes.
Of watching their lives transform.
Yes.
You know, we really have to be joyous in everything that do. We can be kind or be ignored.
Right. No, that's
so true.
You know,
be kind to people or you're going to get ignored.
Mm-hmm. So
and we should be ignored if we are not kind. We should pray for our enemies.
Right.
We should pray for their joy. I think the best thing you can ever do for somebody who is not joyous or who has been ugly, acting out among brethren of the church or people just in general, or maybe a person that's just a pain in your side. I had a wonderful experience this Friday or Saturday, I guess it was Saturday, by somebody that I had been praying for who happens to be a pastor who was just horrible to other people. Mm. I thought, you know, I could be just as horrible as he is, or I can do something different.
Right.
I can bring joy to him.
Right.
Won't that get him?
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's what I try to do. I've been praying for this man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Praise God.
Use him.
Praise God.
To change his own life and those around him.
Amen.
You know, the best thing we can do for an enemy, I know some of us have had relationships that failed, and some of us have had some that have been successful. Comma for a while or comma longer. Mm-hmm. Some of us have had issues with not being able to have appropriate housing or food on the table or not being able to have enough gas in your car to go even apply for a job or something. Or we've had problems with illness. If we can just remember to thank God for all that we have, and then remember to pray for every single person that has caused us angst and those that have caused us joy. Nothing has been so exciting to me in my life as to see the people that were pains in the side. That's a nice way of saying it. Mm-hmm. Pains in the side, and watch their lives change.
Amen.
In the direction of peace and hope and joy and love and forgiveness. It's like they have this awakening, and it's like, what's happening to me? I've had them call me or come to me face to face and say, Deacon Carol, things in my life are changing.
Mm. Yeah.
And I said, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Right.
Well, I'm beginning to realize I really like to read the Bible.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay, Carol, we got to talk more about this in our next hour. We have time for station identification.
Mm. WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock. Mm.
And welcome to every one of you that listen to this show, whether you're in the Tampa Bay area or in the Little Rock, Tennessee, all that area. So we're glad that you joined us today. It's Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we've been talking about Luke chapter 1, the joy of the Lord, and moving into that, into this new Christmas season, which is upon us, Nathan. It seems like it was just yesterday that, you know, that we were celebrating July 4th, let alone Christmas coming up right now. It's happening quickly, isn't it?
The year moves quickly.
Yes. And we've been talking today about joy. We've been talking about Zechariah and the miracle that God provided for Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we're going to talk more about that. We're in Luke 1, if you just joined us. And we're going to start this segment off with a great song by Michael W. Smith and Melinda Doolittle, Amazing Love, because all this season, it's about God's love. I quoted it a few minutes ago. I'm going to do it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's why he sent Jesus. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nathan, it's all about God's love for us. And that's where we can get joy.
Amen.
Because he loves us so very much.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
There's nothing we can do that can separate us from the love of God.
No.
Nothing.
That's Romans 8. I love that. Nothing. So, you know, and there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So those of you out there listening today, take some real strength from the fact that God loves you so very much, no matter what it is you are doing or have done, or ways that maybe were not pleasing to God. It's just a matter of repentance, asking God to forgive you and moving on in your life. Yeah, turn away from it and move on in your life. So listen to the song. It's a great one, Amazing Love.
My steps were wandering. My lips were hungering. My heart was thundering. Something more than all those things. My words were crying out. My faith was dark and doubt. My life was lost without this one amazing love. Washing over me like rain, conquering the fear and pain. My broken path was not in vain. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amazing love. Hallelujah. Is that a great
song?
It's all about his love, Nathan.
Yes,
and God loved Zechariah.
Yes, he did.
Even though we find him in Luke 1 paralyzed by fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, God turned the situation
around.
He didn't say to Zechariah, forget it, I'm going to go to somebody else.
No, he didn't.
He did not do that. In the very next line in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, it says, but the angel reassured him.
Mm-hmm.
In the Message Bible, but the angel reassured him, don't fear, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard.
Mm.
Now, I find that fascinating right there. Don't fear, your prayer has been heard. Now, this was not probably a recent prayer, because if it were, if he was still praying to have a child, I doubt it, because it says very clearly that they were beyond the time of having children. So isn't that interesting that immediately when Zechariah is paralyzed in fear? And I think there are some people out there today who are paralyzed in fear right now by their circumstances. Talk to me, Nathan. We'll get to Carol in a minute.
Well, we can't let circumstances paralyze us. Because
they try to, don't they?
They do, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes,
And God's love is perfect, and perfect love casts out all fear.
It does.
And so therefore,
that's a great tie-in to that song, God's Amazing Love.
Oh, my goodness.
Perfect love casts out
all fear.
And we don't realize that sometimes. Mm. I think we allow the paralyzation
to remain.
Paralyzing. I don't think paralyzation is a name. It's a word. Okay, the paralyzing.
But we understood you.
Okay, but so many times I think we allow it because it's comfortable to us. We're used to fear.
I don't know that it's comfortable. But it's familiar.
There you go. I like that better. It's familiar to us. We have been living like that for a long time.
Right.
And so we know how that feels. We know how fear feels.
And so therefore, we allow it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a familiar feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we allow it to manipulate our lives.
And because of that, we don't move out into the things of God that he has ordained for us so often because of that paralysis of fear. I want to stop right here on this for a minute. Carol, get your take on it, then come back to Nathan on this. The paralysis of fear that so often blocks a blessing for us.
I know you're preaching to yourself on that one, aren't you?
Hey, maybe.
It may very well, because I think what you just said is so profound.
You know me too well.
You have to sit down and really hear it. As you go back and listen to this and really hear it, you know, for years and years and years now, I'm getting a little long in the tooth and completely snow-haired. And for years, I have said, you should be an evangelist, that you are an evangelist. And you've just got to remember to step out of your fear and do it. I think Nathan just right there gave you your prophecy.
Whoa.
I really do.
You know, Carol, it's interesting you even said that. You and I haven't talked about this recently for a long time. But I do believe that God has other ministry potential on down the road. It hasn't happened yet. And I can say Nathan and I are, I've got 6 gray hairs and he's got all gray, but a couple
I've
little.
Got 50% gray hair.
50%. All right. And yet God put us in ministry together in 2003. And we have always felt that we would go into other churches and things like that.
Ahead.
And yet it hasn't happened, Carol. And I think there's other
fear. Once again, it raises its ugly little head. Fear of not having the money to pay the bills. Fear of not being able to go on the road because the price of gas, using that as a poor example, has jumped sky high. Fear of not being received, not having a place to go. I propose to you that the people, the disciples who walked the earth long before any of us ever did, had the same fears and trepidations.
Absolutely.
It was hard to throw down that fishing net where you knew if you didn't have the alms to pay somebody else for something or to pay for your housing, you could eat. You could take that one fish out of that net and you could slice him into 4 different pieces.
Right, exactly.
And you would eat. Fear is what keeps us bound. It is the tool that Satan uses. He puts doubt in our mind when God is saying, I'm going to open this window here and let you see. And then all of a sudden the window slams shut because, oops, there's a bill that came in that reminds you that you don't have the money to pay it. Mm. Or, oops, there's a situation in the family that requires your attention. That is exactly what is stopping everybody, not just the two of you, everybody from doing what God has put in their life to do. How many times have you read biographies and autobiographies of so many different people from so many different nationalities and walks of life and says, I always wanted to be a blank, and you fill in the blank, but I was fearful. Mm. And finally, someone came to me and prophesied over me and said, this is your destiny. Pick up your ditty bag and start walking.
Well, you know what? You make a very good point, because the opposite of faith is fear.
Exactly.
And so often,
paralyzing.
It is. And so often, we don't.
I'm scared to death of a spider. I literally will tell you, I mean, a spider can have me sign over the deed to my house in a half minute.
Carol, I had no clue. I'm
going
to have to get you a little rubber spider for Christmas. So I had no clue.
Watch your tongue, woman.
But you know what?
But I am. And it
good
has
point.
Kept me.
Good point.
It has kept me from delving into places or looking at things. Or if I'm in the middle of working out in the yard and thinking, this is looking good, all to the glory of God, because I like to plant my flowers and stuff to make my part of the earth a joyous place.
Right.
And I'm out there working, and the spider rears up his ugly head. Honey, I'm in the house getting the house papers and writing his name down.
All right. You know what? Okay, then. All right. So here's the point. Zechariah was paralyzed by fear.
Yeah.
And there are people out there in our listening audience, not just Nathan and I, that God is speaking to right now, that have to realize that we aren't done yet.
We're not done yet.
To accomplishing what God has called us to accomplish. And the key, Carol and Nathan, that I feel that God has just really laid on my heart here in the last few days, and Betty, who is part of our radio team now and is up in Indiana, she and I were discussing this a couple days ago, and we really feel strongly that we have got to enter a new day of joy. Mm. Joy, joy, joy. I've got to read you this word that God gave me on Friday afternoon. Interesting, I did not see it at the time I was typing it. I just went to the computer and started typing. It was sent at exactly 4:44 on the afternoon on Friday. Now,
oh,
four is the number for evangelism and, reaching everybody. Here's the word, and so I'll ask you both for your comments on this in a moment. For the Lord would say, this is that time for you. And by the way, I'm going to stop here a moment. Dear friends out there in radio land, this is not just for me and a few of my friends. Mm-hmm. This is also for you, or God would not have me read it to you right now. For the Lord would say, this is that time for you, that time for you to rise up with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That time for you, each of you, to realize your potential, your opportunities, and your progress in me. The opportunities before you in this new season are encased in difficulties, to be sure. But you will overcome in these circumstances. I will display my glory through you, my presence, my anointing, my power, my peace, and yes, my joy. So rise up, my children, and walk in the joy of the Lord. This is indeed where your strength lies. Mm. Yes, this is that moment of truth, your defining moment. Mm. Let joy be your purpose. Let joy fill your mouth. Let joy come through your reactions in difficult circumstances. Mm. Watch my joy explode on the scene of your life. Yes, watch what it will do on a daily basis. Take good notes on this. Write in your journal how my joy has filled your circumstances daily. And then see the results, see what I will do through you. See it with your eyes of faith and start thanking me and rejoicing now, because my joy is going to spring forth in you and through you, and many lives will be touched for my glory. Yes, their lives will be changed because of this joy. Mm. Here we go into this new day of joy unspeakable.
Hallelujah.
And full of glory. So be it, my children. Agree with me, and then it shall be.
Hallelujah. Agree.
Nathan.
Praise.
Comment
God.
First. And then I'm going to Carol.
Praise God. I mean, it sounds like marching orders to me.
It does sound like that. And it sounds like the key to all of this.
Yes.
And this is only the second day of December. Mm. All through this month, we are supposed to major on joy.
Mm.
We did today at the nursing home.
Yeah.
We just sang the joy, joy,
we
joy.
We sang the glory cloud down.
And a lot of the songs we sang today, joy to the world.
Joy. That's right. It was all joy.
Yeah. And talk to me about this. How do we move into this position? I got the hiccups. Go ahead. Of joy.
Well, we make a decision. You know, we get out of our stinking thinking. And
good
get
point.
Into,
we make it's a decision.
We make a decision to have joy. We make a decision that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
And we actually believe
and
it instead of just quote it.
And we actually believe it, and we practice it.
Mm.
Practice makes perfect.
Woo! Practice it.
Practice it. Practice it. Practice it every day. We wake up feeling kind of grumpy. Okay, then I'm not going to get out of bed till I have joy.
Right. I'm going to change my stinking thinking.
I'm going to change my grumpy attitude. A joy of the Lord is my strength. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Okay, listen to this before I go to Carol for a comment. Psalm 100 has been on my heart so much in the last couple of weeks. There's only five verses to it. It's not long. It says this. These also, a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy, it says. I'm in the NIV. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We did that Wednesday night at church, didn't we? Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, there it is again, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Mm-hmm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Carol, comment on this.
Well, I like the part about the songs because when I'm on the lawnmower, I get out there and I just sing to the top of my lungs. Nobody can hear me over the lawnmower. If they did, they would probably be standing at the edge of the road pointing their fingers at me to put a hex on me so the mower would break, so I would hush.
Okay,
but
there you go.
Praise God. I look around as I'm mowing. If I see a grasshopper jump, I will say something really, it may be silly, but to me it's a song of praise. Thank God for the, you know, thank God for the grasshopper. Mm-hmm. He has his function too. And then I'll say, you know, God, I love the birds that sing and the fowl of the air.
Good point.
I love everything that you bring to me.
Yes.
The joy that I can see.
Yes.
One of the most... But what I pray for constantly is I pray for strength.
Yes.
I pray for courage. I pray for wisdom.
Right.
I don't think I could move anywhere in my life if I didn't have those things. And those are joyous things to me. Mm-hmm. When I don't know the answer to an issue, and many people come to me for answers, and even to the prayers that I write for the church, people are coming for an answer. They want a quick fix,
right.
A lot of them. And a lot of them they want hope, and they want courage, and they want strength, and they want wisdom. Before I write any prayer, I always ask God to take that consideration and put it in my heart for this individual or these individuals.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And allow me to be the conduit of your joy and your strength and your courage and your wisdom, your love and your forgiveness, mercy and grace to those people.
Amen.
It's extremely important that we begin to realize he is our joy.
Amen.
You know, and we can sing praises to him all the time. And what we do to the least of them, we do also to him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Nathan, comment on all this. This is so vitally important that we don't get stuck in a rut of paralysis, of fear, but that we move forward into the new day that God has called us. And that's what God's saying here.
Well, when he said
Zechariah had to move forward into the new day.
Right, he got it.
Go ahead.
He had to take a step out of that box of paralysis.
Yes.
Into the now. Into the comfort of the angel.
Right.
And then into the counsel of the angel.
Right. Good
point. Into what God had for him.
Right.
God said, your prayer has been answered.
Yes.
And I wonder if his mind started whirling. Because, you know, what prayer? What prayer?
Yeah, what prayer? What one? Which, it wasn't. You know it wasn't. He was praying every day still to have a baby, because that was beyond that time.
Supposedly.
Your prayer has been answered.
Mm-hmm.
Finish that comment, and then I know you and Sean have to get to church in a minute because you got practice before church, which,
right.
By the way, I want to throw this in. We are now at a different time for our weekend service. Mm-hmm. We started this about 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Right.
We are now on Sunday evenings at 6. We no longer have a Sunday morning service. We have changed our schedule to accommodate more people. Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you still have time.
Just drop on by.
Yeah, come on, because we're going to have a great time in the Word
time.
And in a great time praising God
praise
tonight.
And worship is awesome.
6 o'clock at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. So, Nathan, give us your comment here, and then you know the song I'm going to play next in a moment? His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Oh.
Which is such a great song and fits in right here,
yes,
because he cares about these details.
The details, the minor details.
So give me your comments before you.
Well, God has he's given us details.
Yeah.
God has given us details for our lives. Things that what you do for the least of these.
Right.
That's a detail.
Yes. Yes.
That's a detail.
It is.
That we need to pay attention to.
Right.
What we do for the least of these, we do unto him also.
Amen.
And,
amen.
I mean, God, he's interested in the details of our lives.
Absolutely.
And when we do these things, we have joy. I mean, we find when you do something for someone and it really ministers to them, don't you feel something inside of you?
Oh, absolutely.
Like that lifts you?
Yes.
I mean, you get more benefit out of it sometimes than the individual.
Absolutely.
That you're ministering to, you know?
Even a smile to somebody.
A smile.
Mean, when, I keep going back to it, but when we left that nursing home today, And feeling that love from those. And we've been finishing lately with I Love You with the Love of the Lord.
Amen.
And singing it to each of them and hugging them. I just felt so blessed to be able.
To be there.
I did. Nathan, today it was like something clicked on the inside of me. There was such joy to be there ministering to those who the world has said, oh, they're old and they're sick.
They put aside. What a valuable treasure that the world.
His eye is on the sparrow. He cares about every detail of our lives. So if you want to hear this before you head to church.
All right,
here we go. His eye is on the sparrow.
The shadows come, and why does my heart feel lonely in love for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. Yeah. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know
because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. Yeah, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches, and I know He watches.
Praise God.
It's been a joy to have you on the show today.
It's been a joy to be here.
I always love it.
It's been a joy to be here.
Now go get that band ready for tonight's service.
Okay.
And any of you in Tampa Bay area, or if you want to fly in for the service, catch a quick plane. And it's 6 o'clock tonight at 3700 Almerton. Wednesday nights are at 7 for Bible study, same location. And what a joy. Thank you, Nathan. And we'll see you in a few minutes. Back to this discussion. Don't you love that old song, Carol? That's the Selah version of it, and I love that song.
Yes, we have a friend in St. Petersburg who is sings in different churches throughout the area, and that's his most requested song, he says.
Oh, it's a great song because it reminds us that God cares about the details of our lives. And so often we tend to forget that because the devil doesn't want us to think that God is listening or caring or concerned. And just like maybe I'm just supposing here, but I think I'm probably pretty right, that Zechariah had given up the hope of ever having a child. That would be the human thing to do. With if your wife had gotten beyond the childbearing years, don't you think?
I think so, and so many of us are Zechariah in so many different ways. People have prayed for things for years, and they don't see it come to fruition. I'm always reminded of the mother who would pray for a child that doesn't know Christ. And as the years slip past and the years slip past and they go from babyhood to teenagehood to adulthood, and there's still no response to that mother's prayer, or so it seems. And then one day that child wakes up and accepts Christ. The joy that that mother would feel.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Knowing that she has been continuously praying and her prayer has been answered. I have personally held the hands of people who were passing away who were able to speak that joy, that before I go, I want you to know that my child has accepted Christ.
Right.
And it's such a joyous thing.
Yes.
It's a sad thing when the person's leaving in some ways, but it's also a joyous thing because their reward is in heaven. It isn't
exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
None of us are working for anything here that is going to be tangible. The only thing tangible is if we help people change their lives to God. You know, as long, and I'll tell you this from a standpoint of having been given the diagnosis of a pretty catastrophic illness. When you were given that diagnosis, it doesn't hit you at first. It takes a couple of days.
I bet,
and then
yes.
When it does hit you, the first thing that you would do would be to sit down and ask yourself with tears running down your face, have I done enough?
Right.
Have I done enough?
Yeah, because you're facing your mortality at that point, you know?
You are, and you're facing, have I spoken out enough?
Right.
Have I held the hand of someone in need?
Right.
Have I prayed for the right people at the right time? Did you indeed send me someone in my dreams and my slumber to pray for, Lord? Did I ignore it? Have I done enough?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I've
it's,
done enough.
Yes,
have
I think
I
we do.
Have given the joy
mm-hmm.
of Jesus
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to enough people? And if only, you know, if there's still one person that hasn't heard it and changed their lives and lived it, I haven't done enough.
Carol, that's exactly where I've been the last few days, thinking about... Well, I stumbled on a verse. I'll just tell you how it happened. I stumbled on a verse in Psalms where David says that our lives are 70 years, you know?
Yep.
And if we are healthy and blessed or whatever, we may live longer. But that was the average at that point, which is interesting. And now, you know, with medicine and whatever, a lot of us live longer than that. But as that verse, as I read that, I thought, you know, really, our lives are so brief and so quick. And so often we judge the success of our lives by our happiness. And instead, what I feel that the Spirit of God is saying right now in this day is, let's concentrate on joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you really are joyful about who God is, how much he loves us, that he has a plan for us, that he's not finished with us yet. I don't care how many gray hairs or white hairs, in your case, you have in the top of your head. Oh, yeah, there you go. No matter what our physical bodies look like or feel like, we are still here living and breathing, and God has something for us to do. And when we major on the joy of the Lord, we become stronger down on the inside of us. It's almost like a switch is flipped, and we quit trying to find things to make us happy, or people to make us happy, or relationships to make us happy, or the latest TV or the latest iPhone to make us happy. Instead, our goal becomes getting stronger by joy. By joy becoming such a part of us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In fact, didn't God say to us that he was going to bless us with the birth of his son Jesus to this earth so that our joy would be made full? I mean, it's all about joy, Carol.
It's all about getting out of our own way.
Yes.
And receiving the joy deep into our soul.
Yes, yes.
I read a piece of scripture the other day that said that the soul never dies.
Right.
That startled me. I know that.
Right.
I know that. But it just hit me in a very profound way that this old body of mine will eventually just kick right on off.
Right.
But my soul will never die.
Right.
It will always be in his hand.
Amen.
And what a great joy that was to me. You know, in about 7 months, I'm going to be 70.
Hmm.
And that, you know, for me, that's quite a shocker.
Right.
And so I'm questioning my own self now. Am I writing enough? Am I doing enough? Am I speaking enough?
Yes.
Am I praising God enough?
Yes.
Am I praying intercessory prayer for people enough? Sometimes that's all we can do, because some people don't, you know, they don't have any other means of doing anything. They're infirm or they're ill themselves. I had a cousin whose total life, because he was very bad at COPD, his total church life, he could go to church on most Sundays, but his total life was a prayer ministry over the telephone, and the pastors gave him the names of people each week who were not there.
Yes.
And Joe would call them and spread the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, he couldn't breathe just talking to you one-on-one, but I have heard him. His mother had told me numerous times about how concerned she was for him. And yet when he picked the phone up and began speaking to these people who were not able to get to hear the Word of God, he changed. For those instants, and those people's lives are changed.
Amen.
If we only can do that, we must. And that means Nan and you and Nathan and John and the whole church has got to have a come to Jesus meeting.
Absolutely. And what it is a meeting where we realize, okay, whatever time we have left on this earth, we got to make it count.
That's
we
right.
got to be sure we are fulfilling God's best for us. A lot of people will do good things for God and maybe even some better things for God. But to do God's best for their lives, a lot of times that is stifled by the paralysis of fear, which we were talking about earlier, where Zechariah was concerned. The minute that angel appeared to him, instead of jumping for joy and saying, wow, God is right here and this has got to be good, or he would not send his angel here to talk to me. Instead, he was paralyzed by fear, which is a common human tendency in all of us.
That's right.
We're paralyzed by fear.
I'm reasonably sure he felt that angel was looking deep inside him and criticizing him. This is Zechariah thinking, not the angels. Why is he here? Is he here to scare me? Is he here to chastise me? Is he here to do this, that, or the other? That's the human thinking.
Right.
But, you know, if the angel of Gabriel appeared right here in this room right now, I don't think I would be saying to him, who are you and what do you want? I would be saying, tell me what he says. Tell me what he says.
Well, we know that fear doesn't come from God. It's human. It's typical. We all experience it. 2 Timothy 1:7, for those of you out there that want a scripture that's just going to really help you deal with fear, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. That fear doesn't come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. There may be some of you out there right now who feel like your mind isn't that sound right now. Maybe you're battling all kinds of things. Hang on to 2 Timothy 1:7 if that's the only verse you hang on to. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So that paralysis of fear that Zechariah had was not from God. That was his own human emotion rising up. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And we have got to learn to choose power, love, and a sound mind, Carol, over the paralysis of fear, of what ifs, the paralysis of, my life is a mess, on and on and on.
We simply have to take authority over the power of fear.
Amen.
We must, when we feel fear rising up, we simply have to start singing praises to the Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ and be thankful for every single
that's the gift, joy.
Seen and unseen.
Yes, that's where the joy comes in, Carol. As we begin to do what we were reading here in Psalm 100, I'm going back there, and it says this, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship, and all the earth includes me, it includes you, and it even includes Nan and Cedric. It really does. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Give me a comment on Psalm 100. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Amen.
He's good all the time. It's us who step away. It's us who become that old word, fearful. I guarantee you that if Nan would take the microphone and stand up, she could do at least 1 hour on praise and joy and change.
Could you do that, Nan? Yeah, wait a minute.
Probably. Thanks, Carol.
It's true. She could. Because
she could.
Nan's been through a lot.
She has experienced exceeding joy over and over in her life the last couple of years. And not just using Nan as an example, but she happens to be the one I'm watching right now.
Uh-huh. There you go. Okay. That's exactly right.
Exceedingly above what she would have expected 2 years ago.
Exactly. Comment on that, Nan, and then we're going to go to a song here in a minute. Go ahead.
Well, 2 years ago was when I started coming to Beacon.
Right.
And, you know, there was the lapse of between churches there for several years, and there was none of that in my life.
Joy.
Because there was no joy because I was kind of in a wayward, not kind of, I was in a wayward state with God.
Right.
I do have the joy. Thank you, Carol. I do have the joy. It's been restored.
Amen.
To me.
It shows in your countenance. It shows in the calmness in you because you are self contained in the joy of the Lord. You know that he loves you.
Yes, you are right on, Carol, old wise woman. She does know that. And as a result of that, it really comes through when she greets people, when she meets people, when she's ministering to people at church or in her daily, you know, she's got a very important position in the school system. And she encounters a lot of people on a daily basis. And it's amazing to me the stories of the people that she prays with and the people that she smiles at or takes a moment to say, hey, I'm praying for you or I care about you. Nan, comment on that before we get to the song.
I'm very humbled that God can use me in such a way in dealing sometimes with the people that I deal with and the opportunities that he opens
right.
up the doors to be able to reach out and touch them at a moment when they're in need.
Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We need God.
She's the receptor because she
yes.
can receive it. She can give it.
Right. And, you know, Carol, we need God to move in our hearts in a fresh new way. I really am feeling that this day in time, there's a lot going on in the Middle East. We don't know how soon before Jesus comes back. There's a lot going on in our lives on a daily basis that are puzzling. Sometimes they are disheartening. Sometimes they are frustrating. Yet all the while, God is trying to get us to center our lives in him and get our eyes off of our difficult circumstances and get our eyes off of the fear involved.
I love it how God always comes forth.
Yes.
When a situation unpleasant, has occurred, and we're down in the, oh my goodness, what's happening to me,
Ruth? Right, yeah.
He always comes forth. His joy creeps through in the presence of someone who loves him and who automatically, for whatever the reason, shows up in your life and says, hey, let's go to lunch, or hey, let's sit and talk, or you want to watch this game with me, or come on, I'll take you to a movie. His emissaries, he sends them to us
when
we are in our lowest point.
Yes.
We look up, and the joy of Jesus is on the countenance of the face he sends to us.
Right. Absolutely. Or it's a phone call, or it's an email that just lifts you up.
And I will tell you right now, both of you, neither of you are forgotten. Neither of you have been placed in a position of hold in his kingdom. He is working behind you, in front of you, all around you, encasing you with everything and everybody you need, both of you, to move forward.
Wow. I agree.
You're both very powerful in the word of Christ, and he has not forsaken either of you. He's seizing you for a time and a reason. And he will come forth in all you say, do, and become.
Praise
God. Blessed be his holy name.
Amen.
Thank
I receive that.
I receive that too. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you for that prophetic word. I receive that. And it is a new day. And this new day is earmarked by joy. That's what it is. And you guys, the listening audience is going to hear me say this at least all through December, because this is where it's at. And it's all about joy. And when we get our eyes off of our circumstances and off of our failures and off of our fears and off of our frustrations and get them on to Jesus and what he wants to do in us and through us, our lives will turn around. I mean, turn around. That's what God is saying. Listen to this song by Terry McCallum. Carol, it's one of your favorites. I put it on here today because I knew you were going to be on this show. You
That's
love
right.
this song as much as I do. Come, Holy Spirit, move in your people.
Oh, my goodness, I love it.
His glory to see and rain down from heaven, fresh living water, bring us your liberty. Sing it over the body of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the precious name of Jesus, and we thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is filling our hearts with new joy. Your Holy Spirit is moving in our lives. Your Holy Spirit is drawing us to Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the listeners right now whose lives are being touched today with this message of hope. Lord, we know that it is not your will that we stay stuck in our circumstances or stuck in our old ways of thinking and reacting. But it is time for the body of Christ to rise up in newness of life. Time to move into this new season. Time to walk in the Spirit of God with such fresh new anointing that people around us see and hear the difference, that they know that there is something going on the inside of us. God, I ask you for the miracle of joy to just begin to flood our listeners' hearts right now. That it just carry over into their day tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and so forth. Lord, that they wake up in the morning full of the joy of the Lord, and that as they go through the day, the strength that comes from that joy just absolutely propels them into deeper knowledge and communication with you. God, I declare that. I pray it over our listeners right now. If there are people out there that are sick in their bodies right now, Lord, I speak healing to them in Jesus' name. Jesus prayed on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we know there's no sickness in heaven. And so, Lord, we declare Jesus walked around this earth praying for the sick and healing the sick. We do that right now. We take authority in the name of Jesus over sickness, disease, and pain in Jesus' name. Those that are sick in body right now, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Those who have pain in your body, receive deliverance from that pain right now in Jesus' name. Those who have diseases, be healed in the name of Jesus. Those that are mentally ill right now, Lord, I ask that you reach down and touch minds and cause them to realize that you have provided a sound mind for those who will reach out and grab it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We speak healing, health, and wholeness now across these airwaves. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Wow. Carol, give us some thoughts here.
I would like for everybody who thinks they're nobody to open their arms up right now and say, God, show me the somebody that you know I am. And walk with me and give me courage and strength and wisdom and understanding. And teach my heart to be loving and forgiving, even though it might not have occurred otherwise. I ask you for peace and mercy and grace, and a sense of knowing that I am okay because you know who I am and where I am. And you will continue, God, to deliver in me your words, your strength, your spirit, and allow me to be the hands that reach out to the people that don't know who you are.
Amen and amen. I agree with all of that. And that's where we're headed, into this new day of being those hands, being those feet, being that mouthpiece for God. All those things that he's calling us to be, Carol. Nan, comment on that if you will, since you got a microphone near you, and then we'll get back to Carol.
Well, I was just thinking about the joy.
Yeah.
And the people, it doesn't necessarily mean they like what's going on, of course. But
right.
But I just want to encourage them that they can have joy while walking through the difficult circumstances. I reflect on a really intense thing I had dealt with earlier on, you know, in my life several years ago, and in the midst of the injustice, I had joy.
Right.
In the midst of the injustice that was against me, God's joy was within me because I'd spend the time in the Word and pray, and he saw me through. And it was corrected at the end. He saw me through that situation. So just
and it
so
turned around, right?
It turned around. So just to maintain that joy, you'll see them through.
Carol, comment.
I would like to speak to the older population.
Okay.
Who may be listening on, you know, somebody turned their radio on their bedside, or maybe they're listening in their social hall or the quiet of their own home. Don't give up.
Right. Amen.
God is with you.
Amen.
While the world does not come to you and the world does not recognize you, spend your days in peace with your Lord. He knows you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he is your strength, and he is your joy, and he is all that you need.
Amen. Amen, Carol. I agree with that. I was very mindful of that generation today at the nursing home. And, you know, it is a place of loneliness for a lot of people, you know,
yes,
when they get to a certain age or they're in a nursing home or a facility. It can be a time of loneliness. And I really feel like God is saying, and I agree with you, Carol, that realize that God knows exactly where you are and what's going on in your life. He has not left you. He's not forsaken you. He never does. He can't. It would go against his nature because he's so good. Go ahead. Nan wants to comment on
just
that.
Just real quick about the nursing home. One lady, when we're getting ready to leave, you know, we greet everybody. She's very much has her capacities with regards to her mind. She's very alert. And she looked at me and she goes, I'm going to be praying for you. And I'm like, wow. Yeah, it kind of took me by surprise. And she shared, she had just lost her husband last year.
Yeah.
And she's standing tough, but she said she would pray for me. And
That
was pretty cool. You know, it was neat though that there she is in a situation. She was not in a wheelchair, but she was in a chair. And there she is in a situation that she is, and yet she's reaching out. I mean, that is cool.
Was it the lady at the back over there?
Kind of, past the couch and area.
Right.
And
okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Very beautiful lady.
Yes, because when we were singing earlier on before you got there, there was just this radiance about her that caught my eye, and she was raising her hand and praising God and singing hallelujah, and wow. Carol, give us a final thought here. We're just running out of time, so just give me about a minute here.
The joy of the Lord is my precious, precious jewel.
Amen.
And I want to share it with people. I want them to open up that book and start reading. It will give them volumes about who they are, why they are, and where they're going.
Right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, as always, Carol, for being on. Always love it when you're here. You're such a dear friend of mine.
I love being there, and I really appreciate the being able to see Nathan and to see Nan again. And,
yeah,
and
cool.
Just know that Christ is alive at Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And, you know, Carol, you and I talk about this. I think a lot of people don't go to church anymore. Things have changed a lot in our society and in this world. And there are people that this is their church, the radio show that they listen to a lot. And I would encourage people to plant their finances in Beacon of Hope Ministries, their tithes, their offerings. It's good soil. We have PayPal that Maxine checks all the time. It's on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to PayPal. Give a gift, an offering. Plant your finances. God, it says in Malachi 3, 8 to 11, test me in this. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you so great that you can't receive it. And I honestly believe that there are listeners today who need a place to plant their tithes and offerings, and this is good soil. We are getting ready on January 6th, Carol, to have our 300th radio show. We have been faithful in this ministry we're in our sixth year and almost going to celebrate our 300th radio show. It's good soil to put your finances in. Do you have a comment to that real quick? And then we got to get out of here.
It's very good soil. And, you know, sometimes we need to take a gift someplace in memoriam of somebody or in, you know, because we've been blessed beyond what we ever thought we would be.
Right.
If you've been blessed by this ministry, be a blessing to the ministry and help put some finances into the ministry.
Yes.
It's good soil. It's great preaching. It's a lot of love, and it's a lot of fun, and God is the joy.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Nan. Thank you, Nathan. Cedric, we're going to go back to that last song, Come Holy Spirit, that we sang a minute ago, that we played a minute ago. and go ahead and start it. And as I get out of here, you know, it's always a joy to be with you week after week. We are live. We have a great radio team. They are a blessing to me. There's several of them on this team now. And Nan, you're a part of that. It's a joy to be able to share the Word of God, isn't it, every week?
Yes, amen.
So tune in again next week, 3 o'clock Tampa time, till 5 o'clock. We changed our time. It's no longer 4 to 6 if you caught us late. It's 3 to 5 on Sundays because our evening service now starts at 6. So we're going to boogie on out of here and get in our cars and head to church for a great service. I can't wait to preach the Word. I am fired up.
I can't wait to hear it, Pastor.
It's going to be great. Come, Holy Spirit, move in your people. God bless each of you. You can write me personally, and I will answer you, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. So pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have a prayer request, write prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And either Pastor Jim, my associate, or Carol will pick up your prayer request, write a great prayer about it, send it out to our prayer team. You can be on our prayer team by writing prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Have a great week. Still time for you to get to church here in Tampa Bay, 6 o'clock, 3700 Almerton. Crank up that music, Cedric. God bless you. Come, Holy Spirit, move in your people. Praise God. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Carol, Nathan, and Nan, sharing the Word with you today from Beacon of Hope. God bless you. See you next week.